the issues that provoked the Scopes monkey trial 75 years ago continue to challenge us today. That's the subject of our op-ed of the week, The Debate That Won't Die, by Neil Jumonville. Jumonville is William Warren Rogers Professor of History at Florida State University.
For a half a century after the end of the Scopes trial in Dayton, Tennessee, in 1925, historians thought that the struggle against teaching evolution, led by Christian fundamentalists, was dead. It's not. As a rule, historians who wrote of the monkey trial ended their accounts with the creationists defeated and the debate buried. But in retrospect, it appears that the populist resentment against evolution never ended. Instead, for decades, it remained seething beneath the surface of our political culture unnoticed. One remembers that John Dewey, a prominent voice of the 1920s, warned that problems are often not solved. They merely give way to others. The return of the problem today has been accompanied by its earlier logic. There's a striking similarity between the reasoning used in the current debate over the teaching of creationism and the debate 75 years ago in Tennessee. In both cases, creationist forces have asked that we solve the problem by using popular sovereignty, letting the great mass of people, acting in a decentralized fashion, decide for themselves the truth they will teach their children. As William Jennings Bryan, the most recognized of the creationist leaders, announced in 1923, "Teachers in the public schools must teach what the taxpayers desire taught. The hand that writes the paycheck rules the school." Similarly, last year, the Kansas Board of Education instructed each of the state's 304 districts to decide for itself what proportion of creationism and evolution it will teach. In the United States, we have a long tradition of debate about the virtues and drawbacks of popular sovereignty, and sometimes we have not allowed the majority to choose. Consider, for example, the Lincoln-Douglas debates over slavery. It was Stephen Douglas and the slave interests, after all, who encouraged popular sovereignty as a way to decide whether there should be slavery in the Western territories. It was Lincoln who opposed popular sovereignty and maintained that there are public actions that a simple show of hands can't justify. And anyway, the virtue of popular sovereignty aside, it's not clear whether a show of hands can adjudicate science. While they are voting on evolution, should we encourage localities to vote on how electricity works or how planes are suspended in air? In the face of current genetic discoveries, today's Christian populace will have a much harder time refuting science and evolution than they did in Tennessee in 1925. And because of that, they will have a much harder task making their case for popular sovereignty.
You have been listening to Neil Jumonville, William Warren Rogers Professor of History at Florida State University. Professor Jumonville's op-ed comes to us courtesy of the History News Service.
Now I'm a believer, I'm not a case.